holy, holy, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Holy,
I worship you. Holy, holy, hallelujah to the King, I worship you.
Mercy and love. Great is
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We exalt thee. wanted to share real quick, if anybody wants to come and help the music team, we practice on Fridays at 10 o'clock. So show up. Okay?
Good morning, everybody. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your presence here, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'd reveal your word to us, you'd reveal your truth to us, and change our lives with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture today was in 1 Peter. Chapter 5. I'm going to read it again. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you ever ask God to make changes in you? Ever wonder why it takes so long? The parable of the fern and the bamboo. One day I decided to quit. I wanted to quit my job, to quit my relationships, to quit my spirituality. I even wanted to quit my life. I went to the woods to have one last talk with God. God, I said, can you give me one good reason not to quit? His answer surprised me. Look around, he said. Do you see the fern and the bamboo? Yes, I replied. When I planted the fern and the bamboo seeds, I took very good care of them. I gave them light. I gave them water. The fern quickly grew from the earth. Its brilliant green covered the floor, yet nothing came from the bamboo seed. But I did not quit on the bamboo. In the second year, the fern grew more vibrant and plentiful. And again, nothing came from the bamboo seed. But I did not quit on the bamboo. In the third year, there was still nothing from the bamboo seed, but I would not quit. In the fourth year, again, there is nothing from the bamboo seed. I would not quit. Then in the fifth year, a tiny sprout emerged from the earth. Compared to the fern, it was seemingly small and insignificant. But just 6 months later, the bamboo rose to over 100 feet tall. It had spent the 5 years growing roots. Those roots made it strong and gave it what it needed to survive. I would not give any of my creations a challenge they could not handle, he said to me. Did you know, my child, that all this time you have been struggling, you have actually been growing roots? I would not quit on the bamboo. I will never quit on you. Don't compare yourselves to others. The bamboo had a different purpose than the fern. Yet they both make the forest beautiful. Your time will come. God said to me, you will rise high. How high should I rise? I asked. How high will the bamboo rise? He asked in return. As high as it can, I questioned. Yes, he said, give me glory by raising as high as you can. And remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never give up on you. I will never, ever quit on you. Author unknown. Don't know who wrote it. I'm going to use an awful lot of scripture today. I believe the best interpretation of scripture is scripture. And nothing preaches the word of God like the word of God. The epistle of 1 Peter. Who is this written to? Church? Good answer. If we go all the way back to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied, it says. To the strangers that are scattered, to the elect. That's us. Strangers, pilgrims on the earth. This place is not our home. We know that, don't we? Because we long for that eternal home that God is preparing for us. We are elect because we are called. We are chosen. My sermon today is going to be in two parts. First part, what were Peter's petitions? He's praying to God. Verse 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Some translations say that he will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. But the King James Version says, make you perfect. I believe this is a prayer. Does that mean that God will not do that? I believe he will. I believe Peter believed that it would. I'm going to focus mainly on verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The first petition is to be perfect. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. That word in Hebrew is tamim. It comes from the root word of tam, which means contaminate or uncontaminated. Noah was uncontaminated by the things of the world. In the Old Testament, that's what the word perfect meant. In Philippians 3, 12 and 15, the Apostle Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. The New Testament, it means mature. I think it also means sincere. As we grow in His Word and in His ways, God perfects us, doesn't He? Second petition is to be established, to abide, to remain. You know, we can see a beautiful rainbow in the sky, but it doesn't last, does it? You might see a beautiful sunset or a sunrise and run into the house to get your camera to take a picture of it, come out, and it can be gone, right? It doesn't last very long because it's not established. Just because some here may be old, that doesn't mean that they are not established, right? Even though we may have lived a while, even though we have seen a lot of the world, a lot of life, it doesn't mean that we're established, that we're established. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus talked about building our house upon a rock. Because it's established, it stays. He also talked about the fool that built his house upon the sand, and the rains came and the waters came, and it washed the house away. But that which is built on the rock, that which is established will stay, will stand. Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 7 says, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And in verse 24 it says, yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also bow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Is that us? Could be. Jesus told a parable of the four soils. I know most people say the parable of the sower and the seeds, but it's actually about the soils when you think about it. There are four soils that the sower sowed to. He sowed by the wayside. The seed that fell by the wayside was trodden upon and the birds ate it. The seed that was sown on the stony ground, it couldn't take root. It couldn't become established. And even though it may have shot up a shoot, it withered in the sun. Sowed among thorns, and the thorns choked the plant when it tried to come up. Jesus explained that the deceitfulness of witness of riches and the cares of the world are the thorns that choke it. But some he sowed on good soil, and it produced a good fruit, bear fruit. Good soil. Where does that come from? What'd you say, John? The Word of God, of course. Because the seed that's being sowed is, of course, the Word of God. Hosea 10:12 says to break up the fallow ground. Anybody here that's done any farming or tried to any home garden knows that you have to break that all up in order for it to work good, right? Break up the fallow ground. You want your soil to be good so the seeds bear much fruit. The third petition that Peter gives is to strengthen. Strengthen in what? In our faith, in our resolve, maybe in our endurance, maybe physical strength. We all need strengthening. How weak are we? Compared to Samson, we're pretty weak, aren't we? But yet, even Samson, if you read his story, he was weak. In many ways, he was weak. Even Paul the Apostle, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul goes on to say, "I will glory in my weakness and my infirmities, because I know that when I'm at my weakest, then I am at my strongest." Why? Because that's when God steps in. That's when we reach the point where we call to Him and He strengthens us. He changes us. There's a man in the Old Testament, actually there's a couple of them, named Joshua. Joshua was Moses' assistant, and he led the armies of Israel. He was from a very young age. He was a powerful man of war. Many victories. He went on to take Moses' place and lead the children of Israel into the land. But in Joshua chapter 1, God tells him something. Verses 6, 7, and 9. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 9, Have not I commanded thee? "Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I always found it interesting that Joshua had to be told three times to be strong and of good courage. He's a warrior. He fought many battles. Him and Caleb were the only two of the spies that went into the land that said, "We can take the land. These giants are nothing compared with our God." So why does he need to be told to be strong and of good courage? Probably for an example for us, right? And he probably needed it too. Let's look at those three verses again. Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." This talks about spiritual strength. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Moral strength. Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Spiritual strength. Physical, moral, spiritual. Body, soul, and spirit. We need strength in every area of our lives, don't we? The fourth petition is settle. What happens when you transplant a tree? Yeah, it has a hard time recovering, doesn't it? What happens if you were to transplant that same tree every week? It wouldn't bear fruit. It'd be too big. It'd die. What happens to the man who doesn't know what to believe? Or that doesn't care what he believes? Or changes his mind every week? Follows every doctrine until a new one comes along. He has a hard time surviving too, doesn't he? Spiritually. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Tossed to and fro and carried about. Every wind of doctrine. Hebrews 10:22-23. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Waver and wave. Think there's a connection between those two words? Could be. Maybe that's where that word came from. Tossed to and fro. We have to make sure we know what to believe, don't we? Part two of my sermon. These requests, are they unreasonable? Is God going to say no to them? Isn't this what God wants for us? And if God wants it, shouldn't that be what a request that he'd grant? Did Peter expect these petitions to be granted? Yes, he did. You might ask why. I'm going to give you four reasons. I'm going to read that verse again. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Reason number one, because he was asking it of the God of all grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor. What's the difference between grace and mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. I look to the cross and I look to empty tomb when I think of mercy and grace. Mercy is him dying on the cross for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. The grace is a sign, the empty tomb is a sign that he provided that we're going to get something we don't deserve. We're going to get eternal life in heaven as long as we believe. Only God can provide real grace. You notice it says, because he was asking it of the God of all grace. All grace. That means his grace isn't limited. His grace goes beyond saving grace. It goes to all these things that are mentioned here and even more than that, doesn't it? Because they're all graces from God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can boldly come before God. Okay, reason number two, because he was asking it of the God of all grace who hath called us. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are be called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You notice those are all in the past tense. He foreknew, he predestinated, he called, he justified, he glorified. It's already done. First Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Reason number three. Because he was asking it of the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory. Eternal, that means perpetual, everlasting. Glory, that means dignity, honor, praise. What's the number one reason that God does anything? His glory. What's the number one reason we should do things for God? His glory. Reason number four, because he was asking it of the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32 said, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There it is. How does he do all these things? What method or means does he use? He may use a lot of methods, a lot of different ways, but I'm going to read that verse again. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Well, we don't like that part of it, do we? After suffering, after affliction. And yet, that's how he helps us grow, isn't it? Fire. Sometimes we sing songs, send your fire. Do we really want that? Burn in me. Fire purifies and perfects. What does it do to wood, grass, and stubble? It burns it up and the wind carries it away, doesn't it? Fire tempers and it strengthens. How much value are you to God? What's the Bible say? You're a special treasure to him. Sometimes when we suffer, it doesn't feel like that, does it? But yet if he's working that work in us, like Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are thee called according to his purpose. It may not seem good at the time, but he knows what he's doing. After you have suffered a while. You know, when I read that, it reminded me of what Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22. Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, and after you're converted, strengthen your brothers. There was a process that was going on even in that in Peter. And you can see there was a change in Peter because he did grow. He became a powerful man of God. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you. It's worth it. Not just in this world, in this life, but in the one afterwards, right? James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when thou fallest into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. All part of his process. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It does not disappoint, it says in another translation. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's got it all handled, doesn't he? Everything's under control. I'm glad it's not under my control. At least not anymore. But God knows what he's doing. I'm going to close with a verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it in two different translations. King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I actually like the translation, the NIV version, better. Because thoughts, if you look it up in the concordance, it means plans. And the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So grow tall. Be like that bamboo tree and grow as tall as you can. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in us. We thank you, Lord, that you do accomplish all these things. Lord, just help us to be serious about you, and help us, Lord, just to stay focused on you and just to glory in the things that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today. You'd watch over us and guide us, Lord, and direct us. And Lord, bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes the service.